Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we are grateful. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin alongside everybody. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
It's a football Friday.
Yeah.
Football. Can't wait. We will have in the second hour, Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Can't really beat that lineup, can you? Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Felica and Dr. Bob on college football. Felica might have some pro picks as well. They are the bookends to Steve Fezzik in studio talking National Football League, not just this week, but also look-aheads with Stevie later on the show. This hour, we'll talk Premier League. Paul Carr, who had a little road bump this week. He was, I think he went 0-3 after a 3-0.
Oh, really?
Still up on the year, 5 units or so. Paul Carr will join us to give his Premier League picks from this weekend. Jason Weingarten as well. And are we sure in the National Football League, a question we ask ourselves each and every Friday, estamos seguros about things in the NFL?
That's right.
We'll do that. Kelly asks the questions. I try to answer. Are we sure? But we got to begin, Kelly, with last night's Thursday night football game. What a game it was. Lions 34, Packers 31. Packers get the money against the spread. It soars over. Let me just say, though, that this is one of those games where people go, oh, yeah, it soared over. It's easy over. Yeah, you hit the royal flush of everything. You converted both fourth and goals early, and then you didn't convert the fourth and whatever it was in your own territory, and Goff threw a pick in, you know, very deep inside their own territory. So it was kind of like an over, just cavalcade of over things happening. So 34-31, the Lions get it done. The Lions move to 12-1 on the season. Obviously huge for the division, the NFC North, obviously huge for number one seed implications as both the Vikings and the Eagles chase them for both of those things. I want to, without going through the whole game, I just want to focus on one thing. I have just one general question about this game. Let me just go through the fourth downs real quick and get your reactions to them. 10-7 Detroit. This is in the second quarter. 10-7 Detroit. Detroit has a fourth and goal at the 2 after Montgomery was stuffed for a 1-yard loss. They go for it. Goff to Gibbs, touchdown. 11 seconds left in the second quarter, 17-7.
Sure. Yeah. Great.
You like that one?
Yeah.
By the way,
I was so worried Gil was going to do this too. I'm like, in watching the game, all right, we've officially hit the point where they've gone for it so many times, I'm not going to be able to remember on the spot which is which.
I'm getting to a macro question here. By the way, at halftime, Jordan Love was 3 of 7 for 31 yards.
I was just going to pull up to your point about the over, right? Like the Packers had 298 yards of offense.
Yeah.
It's not a lot when you're seeing 65 points put on the board.
No, they ran 45 plays and had 31 points. But it really was about the four downs, right? So, okay, there's that one. By the way, the entire halftime show, they never mentioned once that Jordan Love was 3 of 7 for 31 yards. Like, they had to go back to Kirk and Al before it was even brought up.
I was going to say, I thought I heard someone mention it right as they were going into halftime, but yeah, I didn't watch the halftime show.
All right, that was the first fourth down. So they're up 17-7. Now it's Green Bay 21-17. Green Bay's up. Detroit 4th-and-1 at their own 49. Goff sneaks for a first. I don't think anybody had a problem with that one. Later,
The sneak effective for the Lions. That's write that one down for
me. The sneak effective is the name of his new album. Later, 4th-and-goal at the 3. Goff to Patrick, touchdown. They go for it, 4th-and-goal at the 3, down 4 points. That's with 5:02 left in the third.
Yeah,
to go
no
up
problem.
24-21.
That one, I think that one I was a little bit more down the middle. Like, it would have been okay with a field goal, but I would have gone for it there. No surprise Dan Campbell did.
Same score, 24-21 Detroit. Detroit 4th-and-1 at their own 31. With 1:29 left in the third quarter, they pitch the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs. Here, we're so arrogant and cocky, we're going to pitch this. We're gonna see if we can get back to the line of scrimmage. Nope, stuff for 1 yard loss. Short field for Green Bay. Of course, they score, and Green Bay goes back up 28-24.
So I know it sounds easy to do this results oriented wise.
No, we're not going to be results oriented by the question I'm just about to ask.
Well, that was the one where I was like, are we really going to do this here? Like, I don't know about this one, guys. And I would have been punting away there, and okay. Yes, he got stuffed.
My point is that everyone is being results oriented,
okay.
Right? That they won the game, and so everybody's going to wash away that play. But if again, what's the example? If it was Brandon Staley, they'd lose their minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one more. 4th and inches. Now, this is on the final drive. This is the one that everybody's talking about. This is one I have no problem with, by the way. There was a hold on Ragnow. The score's 31-31. Hold on Ragnow that brings Detroit back to their 40-yard yeah. line. So they end up with a 4th and inches at the Green Bay 21 after Montgomery was stuffed by Zane Anderson on 3rd and 1.
Mm-hmm.
So 4th and inches at the Green Bay 21, tie game. Well within field goal range with 43 seconds left. Campbell decides to go for it because he wants to be able to run the clock down to 3 seconds to win the game on his racket, if you will. Goff falls while handing the ball off. Montgomery still gets it. Bates kicks the field goal. Detroit wins the game 34-31. So the question should be this to me, because again, if you were on Detroit side or Green Bay side, it could have gone either way in terms of the spread. Detroit wins, Green Bay loses. I don't think there was anything that shocking about the result. But it does beg the question, and here it is. Are you worried, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, or if you have Detroit bets, as I do, by the way, I have Detroit matchup bets in the Super Bowl with both Kansas City and Baltimore. Are you worried that Dan Campbell is so hell-bent on going for 4th downs? And I don't say that because of the last one. I say that because of the one in his own territory.
Yeah.
That's what allows me to ask this question, yep. Right? Are you worried that he's so hell-bent on doing this that he actually doesn't know what he's doing and that it is all by this mythical feel and that it is going to inevitably get them in the postseason? And let me just add to that, oh, by the way, it already has last year, right? Because we talked about the royal flush of overs in this game yesterday. Remember the NFC Championship. Remember the NFC Championship. There was about 4 different 4th down situations. What's the opposite of a royal flush? They went 0-for-4 in decision-making in the NFC Championship, yeah. And they squandered a 3-score lead, if you recall, and San Francisco ends up going to the Super Bowl. So I think it's a valid question, and I'm not asking it rhetorically.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that this will ultimately torpedo the Lions?
I mean, look, I think it's of course a valid question, because we almost saw just even last night, right? You almost saw a play out within that game last night. I think that there is always going to be, it's always going to be opponent dependent. It's always going to be dependent on what your current team makeup is, right? I think they were in a situation last night where they knew with the defensive injuries, them keeping their foot on the gas pedal was in their benefit. And I think in most situations with the Detroit Lions, as long as it's not, this is the problem. As long as it's not an absurd situations like it was for them to go to forward in their own territory.
Right.
But in most situations, when you're actually thinking about going for it on 4th down, they have the personnel to make it work. I most of the time do not have a problem with it.
Real quick, NFC.
Is that a cop out answer? Like, I don't even know.
No, that's a fine answer. I'll get to a bigger point for me though. Real quick, the NFC Championship last year, because people won't remember, mm-hmm. there were 4 instances of this. They were up 14-7. They had it 4th and 6 at the San Francisco 46, and he decided to punt. And every Niners bettor was thrilled at that moment. Later in the game, it was 4th and goal at the Niners 3. They were up 21-7, and they kicked a field goal to go up 24-7. All right, remember, they ended up losing this lead.
Yep.
So in that case, first half, he was conservative. Then 24-10 Detroit in the NFC Championship. It was 4th and 2. This is in the second half now, in the third quarter. It's 4th and 2 at the Niners 28. Goff incomplete intended for Reynolds. All right. That allowed the Niners to catch up in the game. Right. And then 27-24 Niners, 9:52 left. Then the Detroit gets the ball left. So gets the ball back. There's plenty of time in the game. They end up with a 4th and 3 at the San Francisco 30, down a field goal with 7:38 to go in the game. And then he decided to go for it. And here are my notes from the NFC Championship last year, because I was on the Niners. He goes, I said, Goff under pressure, incomplete, intended for St. Brown. Dan Campbell, you beautiful bastard. So I just want to say this. I say this as a guy who has Lions bets. This worries me.
Mm-hmm.
It worries me because the Lions, talent-wise, are a better team than everyone else.
Yep.
Okay? If you were not better talent-wise than everyone else, then this kind of aggressive approach at all times, which he displayed yesterday, then I get it. But if you're the best team, what you are doing is artificially placing yourself in high leverage situations a little too many times for my liking, because you are opening the door for a lesser opponent to have a fighter's chance when they otherwise would not have.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Completely makes sense. Completely understand it. I think this is where it gets tough, because I'll go back to what I said about this game. It's, I think you also have an advantage, though, if you're knowing... If you know and think, my offensive line is so dominant, my short game is so dominant.
Kelly, I get it.
Give me another down, not many teams are going to be able to slow me
Kelly,
down.
Kelly, I get it, but you're not going to bat 1,000 doing that.
I know.
Panay, sul, shmanay, shmul. You're not going to go 5 for 5. You're not, right?
And they did.
And so I'm just saying, as a team that is better than everybody else, he's a little too much on this stuff. He's a little too extra, as the kids say. And I'm worried about it as a guy who has Lions bets.
Yeah.
Just
no,
saying.
No, I think it's a really fascinating conversation, because what you just said is absolutely correct. Could you make the mistake of allowing a team that shouldn't be in the game to get in the game? Of course they could.
Because they've done it before.
Yep.
They've done it before. Last night everything worked out, right? So people are going to minimize, because of results... People are results oriented. People are going to minimize the fact that they did go for it, fourth and short at their own 31. And at that point, I think we were all like, "What are you doing, man?"
Yeah,
that one was.
And Green Bay took the lead right after that. Now, I'm just saying, I think that's the macro question from last night.
Want to hear Dan Campbell's thoughts on the other side?
We will. Let's do that. And are we sure about other questions in the NFL? That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want a bit smarter? Start with smarter insights. With expert breakdowns of the week's biggest matchups and deep dives into betting strategies and trends, VSiN delivers the kind of actionable content that gives you the betting edge. I'm focusing on the New England crowd today. Right now, you can check out articles like Greg Peterson's College Basketball Best Bets, Josh Applebaum breaks down his best college football best bets, Steve Mackinnon's NBA Analytics Report, and later today, you can check out Michael Lombardi's NFL Weekend Preview, Adam Burke's NFL Player Props, and Jonathan Davis's Top NHL Best Bets. To get access to all the articles on VSiN.com right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book, always appreciated. Huddy was not happy with me on the Megapod. He said, I'm sorry, Gilly McRedskin, but the Caleb slander is getting out of control. Just because Caleb had neighbors in Brian Thomas Jr. in college doesn't mean you can predict his NFL future. Oh, wait, that was Daniels. And so I said to him, I go, you got all of that from Caleb? I think there's something, pardon me. All I said was, I think there's something off with Caleb. So I said that back to him, and he said, of course something is off, LOL. Just hoping it's my brutal organization and coaches. They do say it's the hope that kills you. Love the show. It was my top podcast on Spotify. Wrapped this year. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Brosec 1870. Wow, listening to the pod. Is that what Dr. Bob actually sounds like? He was coming in crystal clear. Whatever he was doing, let Chris Felica know. Hashtag hotel internet.
Hotel internet, yeah.
In fact, it's so
in
true
Boise
about,
today.
It's so true about Bob. Wyatt Tomchek was saying, Bob should be on Skype. He should be on video every week. It sounded crystal clear. Anyway, Jeremiah Westgate.
Yeah, but we know why, right?
Why?
He's got his notes to look at and everything.
That's right. What, he's on the radio? he's on the clock. Yeah. Jamie Leva.
Well, that's what he's told us, at least.
Jamie Leva said, good morrow. It's feeling like a good Friday, gentlemen. Looking forward to the show. Thank you. Jeremiah Westgate, friend/devout Packers fan, complaining bitterly this AM about the blown quarterback headshot by Detroit. What did you think, he asks. I say missed call, but didn't affect the play. My philosophy, I'd rather have missed post whistle calls than BS ones that extend drives. Jeremiah, here was my problem with that play. Is that right before that, this mythical replay assist
Oh my gosh.
That came into our lives out of nowhere without any explanation. Kelly's gone.
Where is it, Gil? Where is it the rest of this the time,
is,
Gil?
This is my point. So replay assist, forgot the previous play within 1.5 seconds ruled a pass incomplete after it was called a completion on the field. But then when Jordan Love gets smacked in the face, suddenly replay assist is out to get coffee.
I mean, what are we paying these guys overtime and the NFL can't afford it or something? What is going on, Gil?
I'm just saying someone has to do a piece on replay assist. When did it show up? When did it get approved? And obviously the biggest thing is, what is it allowed to replay assist on?
Yes.
Because it just makes no sense when you're watching a football game.
I am so glad someone tweeted that in because of I had three things written down to make sure that we went over that I didn't let escape the game. Replay assist. The replay quickest assist we've ever seen it. Came in, solved the problem right away, and we've just been, all of us been wondering, where is this thing at all year?
But the
and what are the rules?
The announcers act like it's been with us forever, and they never talk about the difference between certain plays and others. Well, like, explain this.
Do we understand how great this game could be if we had stuff like that consistently instead of like, oh wait, there's a call on the field. Let's go to each coach. Okay, take the time. Let's all huddle together. Okay, we're going to go to review. Go to a 5-minute commercial, come back. Then we're going to talk to each coach again. Then we're going to circle back up. Then we're going to let everybody know what happened. And you've lost 11 minutes of your life.
Yes, my thoughts exactly. Jason H11, another great megapod. I got to say, though, Yin's got to do something about the ads. I'd rather pay $100 to park by the river in that. Yin's must be popular with all these advertisers in that. We don't control the advertisers.
Yeah, we know. Sorry.
But thank you for that. Dave DeSalvo says VEASAN is his favorite station. He says because of this show, Kelly. How about that? Thank you, Dave DeSalvo.
Thank you.
Tom Steffen, I also agreed with the late fourth down gamble like you did. The tougher question for me is, do you make the same decision if you're down one rather than tied? Well, I think every situation is different, right? The most recent was Arizona last week where they were up three.
Yeah.
They decided to kick the field goal, which has its own layer, right? Because being up six then makes Minnesota have to matriculate the ball down the field. They take risks. We've talked about this with Fezzik before. Whereas if you are only up three, let's say you don't convert the fourth, they are more likely to settle for three and push overtime. It's a whole thing.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know that it changes anything. I mean, the whole idea is to win and leave them no time left on the clock, right? So that doesn't really change.
Right,
I understand you have the safety net.
In one game, you're up, and last night you're tied.
You have the safety net of the tie.
Yeah.
So it would be, I don't know if it changes much. Would their actions change, though? Probably.
Let me just read one more because we got to get to the actual show here. But J.R. Buduris. I hope I'm saying that right, J.R. J.R. Buduris. I get your argument on Campbell's aggression. However, given how efficient their offense is and how depleted their defense is, as a Lions future holder, I'd rather be hyper-aggressive on fourth as opposed to trusting that D to get stops right now. Totally agree.
Yeah.
That's why I was all about the last fourth down. I was for that. Totally agree with all that. But again, my point remains, generally speaking, I'm just talking about macro, and because he went for it on fourth in their own territory is why this opens it up to this conversation, not because of the last fourth down. Does he really get what he's doing? Here's the big thing. Is Dan Campbell trying to live up to the Dan Campbell reputation?
Right.
I worry about that. That Dan Campbell's got this sort of mythical thing happening. It's like, well, I got to go for it. Dan Campbell after the game Dan Campbell after the game sounds like Todd Wishnev doing Dan Campbell. Here's Dan Campbell after the game.
I just felt like we needed to end it on offense, you know, and I did not want to give that ball back. And I believe we could get that. I believe we could convert, you know, and I trusted that old line. I trusted David and they came through for us. It's a hell of a call by Ben, you know. It just, I knew how I wanted to play this game. The team knew it, and everything in me told me to let's finish this, and so we did.
Yeah, I just have two follow-ups. One, when he says hell of a call by Ben, as opposed to that pitch out on the previous fourth down.
Boy, that was bad, yeah.
And then also, did anybody ask him about the fourth in his own territory? So again, I'm all for that last one.
I'm sure they did. I didn't see the whole press conference, but I hope someone did.
I'm all for that last one.
The I love this tweet because I think you and I mainly agree, but this does, like, not every game, not every situation is created equal, right? And I do think last night part of what made that special was because of the injuries on defense. And you don't know what the defense can
right,
look
but
like.
You, but you keep ago. Going to the micro. I'm not arguing with the micro of that last play. What I'm saying is, generally speaking, if you have a bet, right, are you comfortable with the nature of his overall work of decision-making? And what I'm saying is, I'm not, because I think he's, generally speaking, he's got the better team, and I worry that he will put himself in an unnecessary high-leverage situation that will actually open the door for the opponent. I'll just say it again. Here are our bets, by the way, this week. I am on the Arizona Cardinals yet again. They have done me good, and I'm betting them again. Arizona -2.5 versus the Seahawks on Sunday, and I have the Rams +5 and a little sprinkle on the money line. Sprinkle me, man. Versus the Buffalo Bills. I like how the Rams offense, and particularly the running game, stacks up against the Bills defense, who lets you run it. I think Sean McVay is going to be able to exploit that. By the way, if you want to really get a deep dive on that, I had no idea when I made the bet that Dr. Bob was going to end up on the Rams too, and he buttresses with a bunch of his analytics on the Megapod. So check that out.
I still can't believe you got a 5. That's great. Yeah. It's back down to 3.5, basically.
That was during the show. Yeah.
That was great. I only have one left. It's Dolphins. It's a bad number. It's from where it opened up on Sunday. Was hoping that Aaron Rodgers is going to call it quits. Still not ruling that out. Still not ruling out that he's got the ankle goes tight or something in the first quarter, Gil, and he's just got to wave the white flag and take himself out of the game. So I got several others written down. I'm considering Seattle. Want to see where that line moves to. Bucks watching that and health and information with that team. Chiefs looking to see where that line moves, if anything, here over the next day or two.
Want to do a rapid fire? Are we sure?
Yeah, sure. I mean, are we sure? We basically hit on everything last night for the fourth down calls, because I think that's the are we sure. You brought it up perfect.
What was the are we sure question?
No, it's just basically a fourth down, continuing it with Dan Campbell. Are you confident with how aggressive he is? So we've basically discussed that already.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump to the other ones. Are we sure Saquon Barkley can't win MVP?
Can't. I'm not sure he can't, but I'm pretty sure he won't, because I think there's going to be enough voters a la Aaron Schatz that will just relegate him to Offensive Player of the Year. And yes, MVP might need to be renamed because it is a quarterback award. So I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm wondering how many people are going to pick their quarterback and then put him second.
Oh, he'll be the unanimous second.
Yeah, I kind of think that's the case, too. Yeah. Okay, are we sure? Damar Hamlin won't win comeback player of the year.
I shouldn't say unanimous, because some people will have him as their MVP, but I just don't think it will be enough. What was it? Are we sure Damar Hamlin will not be coming?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. Because there's only 50. I was saying this about Coach of the Year yesterday, or the day that Aaron was on 2 days ago. Coach of the Year is so splintered that the winner might have 7 or 8 first place votes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Comeback player of the year might be its little brother. Like, it might be so splintered that, yes, Damar Hamlin could win with various. So, no, I'm not sure he can't, if I could use the double negative. We need to need this after.
All right, I'm going to get one last thing right here. It will be either Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens in the Super Bowl for the AFC. Are you sure about that?
Oh, I'm 100% sure about that. I'm 100% sure about that.
Might want to rack that one, Darnell.
Sorry, everyone else. More Are We Sure? And Paul Carr's Premier League picks on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sportrade, the app that's going to change sports betting. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sportrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sportrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia. Download Sportrade, use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply, gotta be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. I mean that. Love you all. Kevin Ryan at Road King KR. He says, Gil, had they failed to pick up that fourth down and went on to lose the game, that decision would be called the biggest bonehead coach decision of the season so far. Why put yourself and your team in that position? And remember, as I said, Goff slipped.
Could have been a disaster.
Stuff happens. And you know what I mean by stuff. It does. So no matter how good you are, right? Like, mm-hmm. I just, I'm telling you, people, they're going to wash it away because of the results.
Think about that. I know what you're hinting at, but the thought process is, okay, you basically have the tie protection, right?
Yes.
Not if Goff slips and that ball gets fumbled and someone's running back the other way.
That's correct. Van Kino, I agree with Kelly. I think MCDC, which we had to look up, Motor City Dan Campbell, is I think what that means.
Yeah.
I agree with Kelly. I think Motor City Dan Campbell didn't care if Green Bay scored after the missed fourth down. I think he's talking about the one in their own territory, because they would probably score quick and the Lions would get the ball back. 74 plays versus 43 plays, I think. Love the show. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, but again, you can have that attitude. Come on, man. Did you think that in the moment? No,
that's actually not what I was referring to. I think he's thinking about what I said about the question about whether they were down one.
Oh, if they were down one, whether they'd still go for it or not at the end of that game. Coach Trucks, wow, Lions are the most talented team. I think the Eagles are up there. Not many times you see a team walk into Baltimore and beat them up. Did they really beat up Baltimore, or did they give them 50 chances to win? I'd be surprised if the Eagles don't represent the NFC. By the way, not an Eagles fan. Coach T, I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles represented the NFC either. My point being that whether you think Detroit is the single most talented team or in the group of most talented teams, which I assume you do, the point is that oftentimes you're going to be better than your opponent, and Dan Campbell does these things where he leaves the door open. That's the boy. Fezzix, South Point runner. I love a literal Twitter handle. Yeah, no, I'm the guy. Fezzix, South Point runner. The incomplete pass in the championship game hit the wide receiver right in the hands. It was an easy first down. You skip the Gibbs fumble, giving the Niners the ball at the Lions 20, leading to an easy touchdown. Execution trumps everything. Well, Fezzix, South Point runner, if that is your real name, I think you're kind of, I don't know if you're trying to burn me on that, but you're kind of making my point for me, which is stuff doesn't work out like you think it's going to all the time, right? Oh, look, it bounced off the wide receiver's hands on fourth down. That happens, right? Like you can't assume execution on this stuff.
Yeah, but grab us a couple parlay cards.
But yeah, while you're down there. Oh, Ryan Hyatt, can't wait for the second hour with those potty mouths, Felica, Dr. Bob, and Fezzik. He says a second hour with the producer's finger on the dump button, but in a loving way.
Yeah, you got it, Ryan. That's my life back there.
Matthew Mayberry, whatever happened to Andy McNeil? I'm not a big hockey guy, but I was just wondering. Well, we love Andy. Angriest Canadian ever.
Yeah.
We love him, though.
We'll pick up the hockey talk in February.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
Smoltzy,
we're mixing it every now and then.
Smoltzy 9 choked on my coffee a little bit when Bob said, "Oh, look at me," before his third pick yesterday. That's a Bob joke. Matt May 11. The Lions team reminds me of Harbaugh and the 14-2 Ravens that lost to the Titans. Oh, I remember that year. Sometimes it's about appropriately managing risk in a one-off game, it could cost them big. And that is my point exactly. Mm. Thank you, Matt. Shades of Mako. The meme going around social media is perfect. Dan Campbell hearing the Green Goblin mask calling him a coward on every fourth down. That's my point exactly. It's like he feels like he has to live up to his reputation. You coward, Dan Campbell. You better go for this. Chris Hartman, Gil, the Caleb pod chatter was interesting. You could have quantum leapt my ass onto the ground after the sack, and the OC could have told me in my ear, 3rd and 26, one timeout, and we need 7 to 10 yards for a field goal attempt. Having never quarterbacked a game in my life, I'd make a better decision. Yeah, man. Johnny Ringo flattered for the callback on renaming MVP quarterback of the year. Yeah, that was you, Johnny. And Stringfellow Hawk, replay assist is just an extension of the challenge rule. Coaches can't challenge a quarterback hit to the helmet. Why should replay assist be allowed to do so? Yeah, but then replay assist just shows up whenever it wants to.
I was going
to
say, that is not me and Gil's point.
No, not at all.
I understand what you're saying. That is not our point overall. It's just overall, where's it at?
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Carr joins us from the Heartland. He is at True Media Networks. He is the host of the Expected Value podcast. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And he said before he has his picks, you had some Dan Campbell thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I admire the consistency more than anything, because you know, some coaches seem like they're just flipping coins whether they should go for it or not. And a lot of these decisions are pretty much coin flips within 1 to 5% either way. And there's a lot of things that can go beyond the models there of personnel or plays you have in your book or whatever it is. But as bettors, you've touched on this a little bit, it just increases the variance of it.
Yes.
And that's what's frustrating to us. And you have to be willing to live with that as a coach, because you mentioned the playoffs last year, and that's the wrong end of the variance. And last night was on the higher end. So you have to be willing to live with that. And it seems like he is, but as bettors, not as much fun.
You make a great point, Paul. And I'll just sort of re-engineer what you're saying a little bit, which is pre-flop, this must be part of the calculus, right? It must be. For instance, that game yesterday, probably, but might have been an under. But again, he's going to go for it every fourth down.
Right. Yeah.
At fourth and goals happened to work. The fourth and short in his own territory didn't. Throw in one Jared Goff interception in his own territory, and all of a sudden you have a royal flush of over things happening.
It was beautiful.
Right?
Had an alt over of over 61.5 that worked out very nicely.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, we were sitting here yesterday saying we both lean the under, but okay, if you could have told me there was 4 for 5 on fourth downs and the turnovers where they occurred,
But that's a great pro tip on any Detroit Lions game. It's just sort of like, okay, you think this? Now think about this part of how this game could go, kind of thing.
It's like when Jameis Winston plays quarterback for you.
That's exactly right. Just like we said, is this the price of doing business with Jameis? Is this the price of doing business with Dan Campbell? It's very true. All right, Paulie. Oh, you and I were texting. I mentioned at the beginning, after a 3-0, a 0-3.
Speaking of
variance, you're still up on the year, though.
Still up 5 units, so we'll keep grinding away, moving the chains.
Moving the chains, what Paul does. All right, what do we have tomorrow and Sunday, sir?
Yeah, tomorrow, this one's the early game. Everton-Liverpool, one of the more entertaining games every year, because these clubs are, their stadiums are literally separated by less than a mile, which sounds ridiculous to, you know, big America and whatever, but they're that close in Liverpool. And these games tend to be kind of like rivalry games. It reminds me a little of like Ravens-Steelers, where it seems like every game is 20-17. 5 straight Everton-Liverpool games have had under 2.5 goals, and 8 of the last 9. And that was when Liverpool had Jurgen Klopp, who's a little more high-powered in attack, and Everton did not have their current manager, Sean Dyche, who's a little more defensive. So I like under 2.5 here at +125. You're betting against Liverpool scoring, which is never fun, but that's the way these games have tended to go.
Betting against human achievement in the Everton-Liverpool game, under 2.5 goals.
What was that, 8 of their last 9, Paul?
Of their last 9 have had 2 or fewer goals, yep.
2 or fewer,
okay. But as is your brand, there is an over right around the corner.
Yeah, we'll balance it out with rooting for some human achievement in Brentford and Newcastle. Over 3.5, +135. This one's tomorrow also. This is really about Brentford. Half of their games this season have had at least 4 goals, second most total goals in the league. And at home, maybe even more so, where 5 of 7 home games have had 4+, including 4 in a row. So Brentford is really just kind of playing these open types of games. Newcastle has that in their bag. They've been a little up and down all season. Their overall numbers aren't super high. They're kind of middle of the table from a total goals perspective, but they're also running a little bit cold. And so we saw some of that attack come out really well against Liverpool in a 3-3 draw this week. So I like goals in this one way or the other. Brentford Newcastle over 3.5 at +135.
Okay. And then on Sunday.
Yeah, we're going back to Bournemouth. We've picked them a few times this year. It's worked out pretty well so far. We're taking them to win at Ipswich Town on Sunday. Bournemouth looked great yesterday. They beat Tottenham 1-0, and that easily could have been 2 or 3 goals for Bournemouth. They have the 5th best expected goal difference in the league. Maybe not quite that good, but a pretty comfortable top half team so far from a quality standpoint. As opposed to Ipswich, they're newly promoted and they really look like it. They tend to run out of gas, we'll say. Their first half numbers are better than their second half numbers, which isn't necessarily unusual for these newly promoted, not quite as deep, not quite as talented teams. So I just like Bournemouth to go to Ipswich Town, get a win. Even money is my price. I'm taking the better team. You know, if this were maybe a Newcastle and Aston Villa and Manchester United type of team that isn't as good as Bournemouth, but has a better name, I'm not sure you could get even money on it. So I like the Bournemouth win here.
All right. Everton, Liverpool under 2.5 goals tomorrow in plus money. Brentford, Newcastle over 3.5 goals. Also in plus money, +135. Shop around, obviously, for the best price. And then Sunday, Bournemouth to beat Ipswich Town outright. Paul got that at even money. Real quick, Dolphins, you laying the points this weekend with your favorite team?
I played them at -5.5 earlier in the week. I think the Jets are cooked.
Dolphins -5.5 now, hosting the Jets. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Bet.
Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on the Twitter machine. Again, at True Media Networks and the Expected Value Podcast. Jason Weingarten on the other side. We'll read some more tweets. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And so I watched the 10th episode of The Food That Made America in a row. And, oh, sorry. Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. It's guaranteed perfection in every single bite. And right now you can save on unforgettable gifts with 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With five generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience. And the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to deliver the perfect gift with thoughtfully curated gift packages featuring gourmet favorites from legendary steaks to mouth-watering desserts and more. Save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. That's 50% off, I'll spell it, at omahasteaks.com. And an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Kelly Bidlin here live at Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, we get tweets. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. At Beating the Book. Master of Puppets. Do not sleep on the Steelers again. Oh, that was the Are We Sure? We didn't finish the Are We Sures. What was the question? If I was sure that the Bills, the Chiefs, or the Ravens, that the AFC yes. Super Bowl representative will come from one of those three. And I said, absolutely, I'm sure. Master of Puppets says, don't sleep on the Steelers again. 10-1 to win the AFC with at least one, maybe two home games, and that D. Get to the AFC chip, and you can for sure make a profit. Oh, that's a different question.
I'm sure, too, but oh, boy, that audio could come back to haunt us.
Jeremiah Westgate chimed in one more time. He says, Gil, you're correct to be worried regarding Lion Campbell's decision to go for it on his own 31 was like a poker player on tilt. The other choices I was fine with. So was I. I would have kicked the field goal to get within one, forget scenario, but that decision was a toss-up at worst. See Alexander Black. Do you see parallels with the Gentry Heisman debate and the Saquon MVP conversation? Yeah, I do. He said, it seems the running back position just doesn't get the respect it once received, considering the aforementioned players and their numbers compared to running backs of yore. Well said, C. Alexander Black. I'm always a big fan of the initial middle name, full middle name, last name thing.
Would you like me to start going as K. Michael Bidlin?
K. Michael Bidlin.
We have discussed that before.
K. Michael Bidlin.
We don't know if it's serial killer or great author, but K. Michael Bidlin is around.
But C. Alexander Black, I agree with you completely. Genty has 938 voters to contend with. He needs a big game this weekend, or not this weekend, but today, obviously, for Boise State in the Mountain West Championship. But if he gets 200, 250 yards, is that going to sway enough voters? I don't know.
I don't know. I think for me with this, we just...
With the Saquon thing, just to finish it, because that's 938 voters. Saquon only has to deal with 50.
Right.
So maybe he's got a better shot. But your overall arching point, I agree with 100%. Running backs just ain't respected like they used to be.
They're not. It just feels like the narrative shift in the NFL has it's shifted all the way to we're not going to consider running backs. That's how I feel, at least. Yeah. I don't know about college. I don't know if we're there yet with college.
I also don't know if 400 of those 938 have already submitted their ballots. And they're like, Travis, I don't care what anybody says. They're that brilliant. Deadbeat Heisman voters. William Falsetta. I love that last name. I agree with you. Motor City Dan Campbell could hurt his team. Here's an angle, though. This team has gone for it so many times that it's second nature. If it comes down to it and they have to have 2 points, Detroit will be ready? Thoughts? Well, it's still one play, man. You know? Yeah, I mean, they'll be as ready as anybody, for sure. But one play is one play. And anything can happen, right? A drop pass, a slip, that kind of thing. Listen, I'm sort of Mr. Fourth Down. I'm all about fourth downs. So I lean that way usually. But it did bring it to mind last night again when you're going for and fourth down in your own territory like that, and you just start to wonder. You're like, I don't know about this dude. Let's see. Rick Ollier. I'm a little upset at hearing that the Oxford word of the year was brain rot. I had it 6-1 bet from earlier in the year on matriculate. I haven't seen an injustice this bad since Peyton having to share the MVP with McNair. Random baseball player today, Jeff Blauzer. There you go. Love the random baseball player names. Jason Weingarten's got some random baseball player names. Comes to us courtesy of the progressive guest line from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali, chilling in his hoodie with his, you got nothing under that hoodie, do you? It's just hoodie. Hoodie to chest is what it is, right? He nods.
Don't pan any lower, too. I don't want to know.
It might be a plunging neckline. We don't want to see that.
I'm wearing pants.
He's wearing pants. Jason, did you have a bet on yesterday's game or no?
I did. I had had the Lions halftime, fulltime, so that ended up working out.
Ended up working out. Well, remind us what you have this weekend.
So my favorite bet right now, I'll tell you, Iowa State is taking some money in the Big 12 championship game down to 1.5. I bet Iowa State. I bet them again at 1.5 this morning. I think if they can keep it close in the first half. I've watched an odd amount of Iowa State football games this year. Their defense is actually pretty good. Hecock, their defensive coordinator, going to be a head coach sooner than later. The reason I watch a lot of their games is because I like looking at the defensive adjustments they make at halftime. He's a pretty forward-thinking coach, and I would assume that if this game is close at halftime, Iowa State's defense comes through again in the second half on Saturday.
That is an underrated thing in sports and sports fanhood and sports betting, where you randomly end up seeing a college football team way more than you expect to.
Oh, yeah.
When Penix was quarterbacking Indiana the one year, I was like, I've probably seen like 9 Indiana games. How did that happen that particular year? What about pro? What about week 14 in the NFL, the weekend version?
I bet against the Jets again, got the Dolphins. I just laid the money line here. Like I keep saying, there's no happy ending coming for this Jets season. It was doomed almost from the start, but basically when they fired the head coach, that was really the end of things. There's no coming back from that. I'm on the Dolphins. I just bet the money line. I also took the Rams plus 3.5, getting the Bills at home. I think that's a little crazy. But I do think the Bills kind of have a little bit of a look ahead next week, so it wouldn't surprise me if they're more focused on the game in 2 weeks instead of this week.
I'm with you on everything Bills and Rams here. I'm on the Rams plus the points as well. Also, and Bills fans will hate me for this, but at some point, the Bills' strategy of like Josh Allen's going to do everything for us, and we're going to give you running, we're going to give you anything you want in the running game. It's got to come back and nip in the bud, and this would be the matchup where I think it happens.
Yeah. Did you guys catch this Micah Hyde thing too, by the way? Like Micah Hyde just back with the team?
Yeah.
Like
on IR though, right? Is he on the 53?
Starting on the practice squad, but he's expected to get elevated at some point. So he's coming back after what, retiring? He's coming back to play with the Bills. It was said he was the only team he's going to come back for, and now he's saying he's going to retire again at the end of the season.
Well, I think, yeah.
I like his plan. Just get back for the playoffs.
I think they put him on the practice squad so that they could elevate him because he could help you in a short span of time. And then he'll probably be a coach for them, I would imagine.
Oh, is that the rumor?
The other thing with the Rams, talking about a Bills transaction this week, the Rams pick up Emmanuel Forbes off waivers. The Skins had drafted Emmanuel Forbes, I want to say 16th overall in the 2023 draft. And if numbers game listeners will remember a couple things about this when we were talking about it, the Skins drafted him. Their whole thing was they didn't generate turnovers, Washington. And so they're like, well, Emmanuel Forbes, Mississippi State, he generated so many turnovers. So, you know, we'll just draft him, which I always thought was like the flimsiest argument in the world. And it didn't work out in D.C. And the other thing I used to say about it is, if you remember, before they could even get Emmanuel Forbes, before Goodell could even finish the words Emmanuel and Forbes, Belichick and the Patriots were sprinting to the front with their 17th pick. Christian Gonzalez, please. They were so happy Washington picked Forbes. So now the Rams pick up Forbes to supposedly bolster their secondary. They also have Cameron Curl, former skinny. Curl's a different story. He's a good ball player. Anything else, NFL?
Not much. Really just kind of focusing on finding the worst teams and betting against them this weekend and probably the rest of the season. That would, you know, apply to the Giants as well. I don't think they have any incentive to win. I am interested in the Falcons-Vikings game, the Kirk Cousins revenge game to start our Sunday morning. I think that'll be an interesting game, but I don't have a bet on it yet. Like I said, mostly I'm just trying to look for the worst teams and kind of fade them.
You have a Heisman bet, Jason?
I kind of want to bet some more on Genty tonight to give you the last word on Travis Hunter, sort of the fact of the reality situation here. This Hunter Heisman has been in the works for approximately 4 years. He didn't go to Florida State. He followed Dion to Jackson State, followed Dion to Colorado. This has been the plan all along. This has been the plan for 4 years since he's you know, he's been there with Deion the whole time, and getting him the Heisman and getting Shador to the NFL and getting Travis Hunter to the NFL. This has been the game plan since day one. So you're going up against a media hype machine you really can't win against. I do personally think I would vote for Ashton Jeanty, especially if he has a big game tonight. Travis Hunter, not even the best offensive player on his own team. But again, you're fighting a media hype train here that has for 4 years been hyping up Travis Hunter for this moment. So good luck if you're fading him, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to
work. Let me also give this context. Mountain West Championships night. Jeanty's rushing prop, 175 plus yards, minus 115, pardon me. 175 plus yards, minus 115.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend, guys.
You too. Felica, Fezzik, Dr. Bob next.